Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
You always got to let that one roll. Welcome in to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi, supertalk.fm if you're listening online. If you're listening back to this on the podcast, I appreciate that as well. I am not Brian Haydad by any means. This is Lightning. Thunder's out. Thunder's out of here. We kicked him to the curb. Brian Haydad's on vacation this week, enjoying beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And Robbie Falk here. I am sitting in for Brian this evening, sitting in all week over on Sports Talk Mississippi with Michael Borky. We've had a great time Monday through Wednesday so far. Looking forward to the next 2 days as well. We have a really exciting show for you tonight here on Thunder and Lightning Live, and we appreciate you for tuning in. We're going to talk a lot about Mississippi State baseball on this show. It's going to be heavy baseball, but I'm not going to leave the football program out either. We have a lot of exciting things going on for Jeff Lebby and Mississippi State football as well, but baseball is kind of taking center stage right now, because Mississippi State hired one of the best coaches in the country in Brian O'Connor. And Brian Haydad's talked about it on this show. We've talked about it a lot on Thunder and Lightning, the podcast as well. And if you're listening to this, you probably already know about the podcast Thunder and Lightning. If you have not listened to that podcast, I encourage you to go download that on your phone right now and check us out each and every day, at least 5 days a week, wherever you get your podcast. Not having it this week with Brian out of town, and that's fine. He's going to enjoy his vacation. But we will be back next week for more of that. So Brian O'Connor has hit the ground running at Mississippi State. Bulldogs brought him in a couple of weeks ago after Mississippi State's season came to an end, and he has been hot on the trail trying to get this roster ripping and roaring, ready for next season. We went and established, got a lot of established guys off this roster to stay. Bryce Chance, Ace Reese. You look at some of the pitchers that are coming back next year. Ben Davis has announced he's returning. We've seen the announcement of Ryan McPherson and Dane Burns and Charlie Foster, three really talented freshman pitchers that are going to be a huge part of things. And Justin Parker was announced as the pitching coach. That was a big part of those guys coming back. So that was huge, and we're going to have a conversation with Brian O'Connor in the next two segments that you guys will be able to listen to. A great conversation we had with him earlier this week, and I encourage you guys to stop and listen to that here in the next couple of segments. But he talked about that was the most important thing for him to do, was go out there, talk to those players, get the guys that they needed to return. And they've pretty much, to this point, they've gotten just about everybody locked in that they want to. We're still waiting on a few guys. Garrick Fry and Noah Sullivan, I think, are huge pieces to the puzzle that they're trying to bring back next year. The draft could play into it. What do they want to do there? Are they going to be drafted? Do they possibly want to become free agent pickups after the draft? So we're waiting to see what they do there. But, you know, all signs point to those guys potentially coming back next year as well. You did lose Luke Dotson, who was a big bullpen piece. He's going to Texas, was just ready to move on. And Brian O'Connor talks about that in our interview, that some guys just are ready for a new start, and that's fine. But this roster's shaping up really well, and it started with the players coming back. But they've also gone to the mysterious transfer portal. I've been wanting to do that for a long time. Thank you, Rhino, for appeasing me there. I'm not going to do all of Brian's bits, but I did want to do that one. Mississippi State has gotten 9 transfers out of the portal in the first couple of weeks. Brian O'Connor's been a very busy man. It started on Thursday after he was hired. He was hired on that Sunday night, if you guys remember. And we, Brian and I both came out with the news immediately that right after the game ended between Mississippi State and Florida State, Brian O'Connor was the new head coach. And that Thursday was the big celebration at Duty Noble Field. A lot of you were there. It was a big event, unlike we've seen in Mississippi State for a coach announcement. All the pomp and circumstance you could imagine. And on that night, he had about five or six transfer portal players there. And so far, almost all of those guys have committed to Mississippi State. It started with four of his Virginia players joining the roster. Thomas Valinkas, who's a left-handed pitcher, an outfielder, James Nunnally, another outfielder in Aiden Teal, and then a guy that I call a utility player, Sean James, who played a little infield, he played a little outfield. He was actually brought to Virginia as a catcher. So he can do some different things for you. Valinkas, Nunnally, and James all played as true freshmen, and this staff is extremely high on them. Kevin McMullen, the associate head coach, and Matt Kirby, the recruiting coordinator, as well as Brian O'Connor, they wanted those three freshmen to follow him. Thomas Valinkas is a left-handed pitcher throwing mid-90s to upper 90s as a true freshman, and his last three games as a weekend starter threw over six innings in all three of them, gave up three runs or less in all three of them, all against ACC competition. He got better and better as the year went on as a weekend starter for Virginia. He's a guy that immediately profiles as a potential Friday night starter for Mississippi State, so that was a huge pickup for the Bulldogs. Nunnally was the hardest guy to strike out in the ACC last year as a true freshman. He is a player that is going to be really smart at the plate, batted under 300, but when you have the strikeout numbers that he has, or the lack of strikeouts, I guess, it's really impressive. It stands out to you as a true freshman. Sean James was kind of a guy that he was actually Nunnally's roommate. I talked to Nunnally about him a little bit. Just a really heady player, great teammate, a guy that they think can do multiple things for him. And I don't really know where they're going to utilize him, but being able to play multiple positions is something you're going to see for the majority of guys that they've gone after. And that's a profile of a Virginia player. They're going to be really athletic. They're going to be versatile. And they're going to be able to hit the baseball. And all these guys can do it. Aiden Teal had a really good season this year as well. He is draft eligible. This is his. This will be his. I guess that was his third year with Virginia last year. So he's draft eligible. His brother obviously playing in the Chicago White Sox organization. Got called up earlier this year. Kyle Teal, a lot of people might remember him, a great catcher at Virginia. Aiden is coming in. We'll see if Mississippi State's able to keep him or not. There's a couple of draft-eligible guys that we'll talk about in here. But along with those guys, we've seen players from other places come in as well. Vitas Valinkas, who is the older brother of Tomas, he was also on campus for that event that Mississippi State had when announcing Brian O'Connor as the head coach. He's a player that he goes to South Carolina out of high school. And both these guys, by the way, from the Midwest, they end up going to Baylor in Tennessee, in Chattanooga. That's where they went to high school. He goes to South Carolina, doesn't work out, ends up going to junior college, was really good, and was just okay at Illinois his first year. Last year, his numbers went up across the board. Was tougher to strike out. Batting average was way up. Batted, I think, 350 at Illinois. Was an all-conference player in the Big Ten. He can play outfield. He can play first base. He can do a lot of things. Another versatile player. They pick up a guy in Ryder Woodson who came on strong late at North Carolina State this year. Hit three home runs in two games in the Auburn Regional. A player that could play third base. He could play second. He could play shortstop. Really high ceiling, I think. When you look at this guy and you look at the build and the swing, I like him a lot. He could be a breakthrough candidate. North Carolina State people were not happy to lose him either. Then State got back into the pitching department and added some intriguing arms in rising juniors, Maddox Webb from the Citadel. and Jackson Loger from James Madison. Now, Maddox Webb, obviously going to have probably a connection to Justin Parker with Parker recruiting that area a little bit in the past. And, you know, we'll see what you get from him. Loger from James Madison, there's a previous connection, obviously, with the James Madison coach that's on staff from Mississippi State as well right now. And then today, a kind of out-of-nowhere pickup for Mississippi State, outfielder first baseman Blake Beavis from Ball State. Funny last name for those that grew up in the 90s. A lot of Beavis and Butthead jokes we can make there, but I digress on that. This guy hit 40 home runs at Ball State during his time there. He's a draft risk. He's not a high-projected draft pick, but anytime you have a player that has a chance to go ahead and start his career, you got to think about those possibilities. So we will monitor that, obviously. But as we sit here today with these nine pickups, Brian O'Connor is off and running, and this program is really starting to round in to a potential top 10 roster next season. So looking very exciting. All right, we're going to take our first commercial break. When we get back, my conversation with Brian O'Connor, we have 20 minutes of that. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Continue to be locked in. This is Thunder and Lightning Live on Super Talk Mississippi.
The doctor's office that...
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi, supertalk.fm. Appreciate you guys spending your Wednesday evening with me here on the show. We talked a little bit to open the show about Brian O'Connor and the hiring that Mississippi State made here, just the type of pedigree that he's brought with him. The resume is just about unmatched, especially in the ACC when you talk about a guy that won the national championship a few years ago. So this is one of the best hires, if not the best hire, Mississippi State has ever made in a team sport. And I want you guys to get a chance to hear why I really believe this is a great hire. And it's because of the type of person that he is, how meticulous he is, how prepared. You will hear it in these next two segments when we hear from Brian O'Connor. So we're going to go to that interview right now. These next two segments will be all Brian O'Connor and myself. So let's go to that interview right now.
All right, Robbie Falk here. We're live on Super Talk Mississippi, and I'm here with Mississippi State coach Brian O'Connor. Coach, I appreciate you stopping by and talking to us. I know you've been super busy the last few days, and you just got a chance to get out and start talking to people now because you've been so busy retaining the team and recruiting prospects for next year's team and beyond. What have the last couple of weeks been like for you? Just this whirlwind of taking a new job, trying to put a staff together, trying to put a team together. And what's it been like for you?
Well, the word that I come up with is exciting. You know, I love it. You know, I love the fast pace of it, trying to put everything together, piece everything together to have the best team and program that we can have at Mississippi State. So, you know, it's been a combination of learning Mississippi State a little bit, getting settled from the standpoint of just, you know, candidly, Robbie, the hiring process, you know, human resources and everything to get done what you need to get done. There's a component of that is time is of the essence of something like that. But, you know, my attention first and foremost on the ground at Mississippi State was to meet with all the current players that had eligibility left, right? And talk to them about what the vision of the program was and what the standards are that I believe in to have a highly successful college baseball program, and talk to them about their opportunities at Mississippi State, because what ends out happening in any of these coaching changes, right? You know, a lot of guys jump into the portal, right, seeking new opportunities while they're trying to understand what the new coach and coaching staff are about. So I feel really good, Robbie, about what we've done in 2 weeks to retain the current roster at Mississippi State. You're not going to be able to keep all of them because maybe in the last year or two, you know, they haven't played as much as they wanted to, pitched as much as they wanted to, you know, and maybe they want to venture out and find more or find a different role than they've had over the last year or two. And that's okay. Right. And then what you do is start to figure out, all right, what are the pieces of the puzzle that need to fit together to have the best 2026 team at Mississippi State? So we've been consumed with that and building those pieces to build out that roster construction for next year and beyond.
And this is such a different time in college athletics. I mean, you have not experienced this particular situation where you go from one school to the other school and you're having to try to get, you know, as many people as you possibly can to stay while also meeting donors and meeting fans and, you know, kissing babies, shaking hands, all that stuff, doing these interviews. I mean, this is a different dynamic for you as a coach. You've encountered a lot of things, but this is totally different. What's it been like for you and your staff just kind of learning this whole process of trying to build a team for next year and also, you know, getting ready for the season next season as a new coach?
Yeah, well, certainly I don't have a lot of experience with it, having been at Virginia for 22 years and staying put at the right place. But, you know, a big part of this, Robbie, was the majority of my staff and support staff came along with me to Mississippi State. So we know each other. We know our strengths. Right. We know what our roles are. Those have already been in place. So it allowed us to hit the ground running on who has what responsibilities versus having to hire a bunch of staff members. Right. That you don't know. And so we were able to, you know, immediately hit the ground running, putting the pieces together. You know, I'm a big believer, Robbie, in efficiencies. Right. And people knowing their roles in an organization and being responsible for those roles and counting on them to deliver in those roles. So that was one of the advantages, was with bringing two coaches with me, Coach McMullen that has been with me for 22 years, Coach Kirby that's been with me for 14 years, and then, you know, four support staff members that have been with me or previously been with me and understand what my standards and expectations are for what needs to be accomplished and get done. So we were able to, boom, immediately go to work. And obviously learning a new place and things like that, I'll tell you, I haven't and will not in the near future have time to spend, you know, with donors and, you know, fans and things like that, because we have to pour everything into building out this roster to have the best team to put on the field next spring.
I asked you this question, there's a variation of this question at the press conference about Justin Parker and the process of keeping him on board, because your whole staff is essentially guys that you have worked with for a long period of time or for the last several years. Justin Parker's different in that dynamic as he was here. What really impressed you about him? And you said that you talked to him several times in those few days that you were kind of going through that process. You could have gone out there and hired someone else, and you had some top targets I'm sure you were after. What was it about Justin Parker that you felt like this was the guy that you really felt was the best fit for you at Mississippi State?
Well, I'll say this. Anytime you're the leader of a program, you're always paying attention to other coaches out there, right? You're learning about them. You see how they work. You see their track record for development and all that. And so, you know, when we actually a year ago at the regional at Virginia had a chance to compete against Mississippi State, I paid attention through competition on how his pitchers competed and how they executed. Obviously, they had some really good talent, but what was he getting out of them, right? And then paid attention to this year as well, and also understand his reputation, most importantly, to connect with young men, to connect with them in the recruiting process and connect with them while they're under your development. And so those are the most important things to me. Obviously, he has strong contacts in the Southeast from a recruiting standpoint, which is vitally important. And then, you know, just us spending time together, I got a better understanding of what he's about as a man and what he believes in running a high level college baseball program and his role as the pitching coach. So after pre-background research, paying attention to the past, right? And every coach always keeps lists with them of who they think are really good, capable assistant coaches out there, depending on what role you're in. And Justin Parker fit that bill perfectly. And, you know, so a combination of those things, but I think it's going to be a great partnership having him as part of our staff moving forward.
I don't know if you were out there at the celebration at the time or not, but when he was thanked by Dr. Keenum, he got a standing ovation from the crowd, and you could just kind of see the appreciation that Mississippi State fans had for the work that he did. And then, you know, the day after he's announced, and in some cases, a couple minutes after he was announced, you see a lot of the players announcing that they're coming back, and you can kind of see their affiliation with him as well. When you look at those players that announced their return, Ryan McPherson, Charlie Foster, those guys, and you go to the Ace Reeses and guys like that, how big is that for your program to have those players kind of bridge the gap for you next year?
Well, it's the most important part, Robbie, right? Because those young men love Mississippi State, right? And so that's why after being hired, that was my first focus, was those young men that had the ability and loved Mississippi State to pave the way for them to remain in this uniform, right? That was priority number one before we started looking into replacing players, because that's important in consistency and continuity, right? And getting the best players that have the right kind of talent and that want to be there. That wasn't going to be everybody. Right. And I understand that some players needed to go take their own journey and try something new. And that's OK. Right. And that's where we kind of backfill to build out the roster to make it the most complete team that we can make it.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Coach, I want to kind of transition into talking about Mississippi State, the place and the people, and a big reason why you came here, because of the investment that they put into college baseball. And I know that you said when you were at the celebration, that whole deal was just not you. That wasn't really your personality. You didn't really want the spotlight on you. But you did get a good idea of how rabid this fan base is at Mississippi State. What was your impressions of that night when you got a chance to see the crowd and their response to you coming to Mississippi State?
Well, excitement and opportunity, right? I've been familiar with the fan base and the passion and the love that they have for the baseball program in Mississippi State. I'm fully aware of it, was aware of that prior to coming here. But, you know, that night on Thursday night to come out, and yeah, there's a lot of, you know, pomp and circumstance that went on that night. And I understand that that's part of it. And yeah, might not be me, but when you're the baseball coach at Mississippi State, it's got to be part of who you are. Right. And I welcome that. And I understand that. Right. And so, you know, with it came excitement and energy about how passionate these fans are of having a highly successful baseball program. So I look forward to that, right? You can't shy away from that, being the baseball coach at a place like Mississippi State, right? You have to welcome it and relish it, because it's part of what makes it an incredible experience for the players, the coaches, the fans, everybody involved.
About the same time that you were standing up there and doing that, the whole pomp and circumstance, like you said, about 25 years ago, around that same time, I think you were in the opposite dugout and with Paul Menieri and Notre Dame, and y'all had a battle with Mississippi State at Duty Noble Field. I think, if I remember correctly, Paul Menieri, after that regional, penned a letter to Mississippi State talking about that week and how special it was, and seeing the fans and their reactions and stuff. What do you remember about that regional specifically back in, I think it was 2000, whenever Notre Dame came here, you were the pitching coach?
Well, what I remember first is the loss, the end of the season, right? That doesn't sit well as a competitor, right? That's where it starts, because you wanted to win the darn thing. But also too, just left with the feeling of the passion that the fans have for great college baseball. Obviously, they want their Bulldogs to win. We all know that and get that. But their appreciation and love for really, really good baseball. And that's exciting, okay, is that, you know, the standing ovations for a great play by a member of the other team, okay, that says it all, that they understand the game, they appreciate the game, and they appreciate great play, right? Obviously, they want it on the side of Mississippi State all the time, right? But, you know, the game's hard to play, and their understanding of what goes into it is truly a lot of fun.
In that same vein, when you talk about this fan base, you know, they're so hungry for success, and they've experienced it at the highest level a couple of years ago, winning a national championship. But there have been some massive highs and some massive lows for this program. They've been up and down, especially for the last, you know, couple of decades now. How do you, as a coach that's had so much success and so much consistency like you did at Virginia, what do you feel like you need to bring to this program that brings that same kind of consistency, that year to year, you know, you're in the mix for hosting at Duty Noble, you're in the mix for Omaha? This program isn't going through some of those extreme highs and extreme lows as it's had.
Yeah, well, I think that starts with the consistency of recruiting and roster creation, right? And we have a lot of work to do on that, Robbie, right? Not only for next year, but for the future, okay? And, you know, I addressed this in the press conference that, yes, is recruiting out of the transfer portal critically important? It is. There's no question about it. But also starting to get a small handful of freshmen to come in a program, because if they're high-level players and they get a chance to develop over 3 years, then you have that player for 3 years. When you're constantly hunting the majority of your roster in the transfer portal every summer, that's not a good recipe for consistent success, right? Because you can evaluate players in the portal on video and statistics and things like that. There's no guarantee that they come to your program and end up delivering at that level, right? So somewhat of a consistency of incoming, a handful of incoming freshmen that can grow in the program. That's really, really important in roster creation and development to have sustained success. And so we've got work to do on that, Robbie. You know, you look at the roster, and there is not, from a position player standpoint, there is not rising sophomores and rising juniors, position player-wise, that started in the program in Mississippi State. So if that's the case, you're always continuing to build out the entire position player roster in the transfer portal. So over time, and that's going to take 2 or 3 years for that roster to catch up. Okay. And not going to change what you need to do in the transfer portal. Not at all. Okay. But, you know, you look at some of a lot of the teams that have been to Omaha, teams that have won the national championship, there's a good majority of their team that were born and raised in that program. Okay. And so, you know, we're not going to solve that right away. That's going to take a few years to solve. And we're going to have to patch it with portal guys until that point in time, over a long period of time, that can be built. That's going to be vital for this. And then it comes down to, you know, every day, the development of the culture of the program. What kind of standards are you holding the players to? How do you work? How do you develop them on a consistent basis? And those are the things that, those are the challenges, but those are the things that I'm really, really excited about.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to touch on the recruiting a little bit. I know you can't, I don't know what you can say about the recruits, so we won't dive into that. For shameless plug, if Mississippi State fans want to come check that out, they can come to Maroon and White Daily. We have all the details for you there. But you do have some familiarity that you're bringing in. What has been your impressions of, you know, the recruiting process so far? When you talk to players, whether it be in the portal or high school, what are their thoughts and what's been the reception to you at Mississippi State with those players?
Well, I think it's been pretty good for sure. You know, a lot of players are excited about it, open about it, looking for a new opportunity, want to be a part of building something. You know, that's a challenge that you present to recruits all the time. You know, do you want to go to a place that's very well established, okay, and is going to Omaha a lot? Well, there's those places out there. Or do you want to, how are you wired? Do you want to go to a place where you can make a difference? They can make a difference at Mississippi State, for sure. And, you know, it's got to be the right kind of young man that wants the kind of environment that's at Mississippi State. Okay, every school is not right for everyone, right? But they understand what this opportunity is about, okay, and what we are about as coaches. So I feel like the reception's been really good. But when you're recruiting in the SEC, right, everybody's really good. There's established programs. There's programs that have been to Omaha a lot recently. And so that's what we're up against, and that's fine. But what we're offering is a new opportunity to come and make a difference in the foundation of this baseball program.
Coach, last question here, because I know that you guys have been going nonstop. You finally got a chance to breathe a little bit, and you have to start doing these interviews. But what's the summer look like for you guys? It's changed tremendously over the years, where it used to be you guys just going to watch kids, I'm sure, play summer ball. Well, now you got to go out and you got to recruit the portal. You got to go to the Cape Cod League and all this stuff. What's it like for you guys this summer?
Well, it's first and foremost putting the best team on the field for next year for Mississippi State, while some of our staff members also stay engaged in the 26 and 27 recruits, right? That goes back to building the roster for the future for longevity and stability. So it's both of them. I was actually up in the Cape on Friday, right before the dead period closed up. And so, you know, it's going wherever you have to go to accomplish two things: getting what you need to get in the transfer portal to have the best team on the field next year for Mississippi State, while also building the future of this thing. So hand in hand, we have to pay attention to both of them, and are, right? And that's what it takes. So, you know, it's piecing it all together through the entire summer, all the way through until the middle of August, because there's high school recruiting events that go on all the way until then, and putting this thing together to, you know, have the best current and future rosters that you can possibly have.
The best made to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Woo! Woo! Let's go! Let's go!
Thunder and Lightning Live is back here on the radio. I want to give a shout out and a massive thank you to Brian O'Connor for spending 20 minutes with me, just kind of catching up on all things Mississippi State baseball. He has been hard at work, and like I said before the interview, I mean, you can tell why the guy has been so successful. He has a plan. He has a group of people around him that he believes in, that believe in him. They all know what they're doing. They're all lockstep and ready to roll. It's a really, really professional group, and the results speak for themselves. And now you put that group in to a place that supports baseball almost like no other out there, and you have the resources that you do that Mississippi State's putting in this year. Some big things are ahead for Mississippi State baseball. I want to touch before we get out of here on some Mississippi State football. Jeff Lebby has his third official visit weekend coming up this weekend. Two weekends prior, he's had some success going out there and getting some recruits and getting some commitments from guys. Last week specifically, he gets a commitment from offensive lineman Charles Humphrey and Dylan Steen and Jaden Ross. And he also got Maurice Jones, who is a safety. These guys, obviously, on the offensive line especially, filling a need. Mississippi State needs to go out there and load up on the offensive line and build some depth in this high school class. It's a group right now, the class as a whole, that I think is solid. It's not ranked very high. As a matter of fact, it's, you know, towards the bottom of the SEC, but a lot of them are that Mississippi State has. It's just life in the SEC. But I like some of the pieces in here. Jaden Taylor, the younger brother of Kamario Taylor, right now he's the highest-ranked guy in the class, just outside of a four-star ranking, and he's a guy that can play multiple positions for you. He can play wide receiver, although I think he's going to play defensive back on the next level, whether it be cornerback or safety. He is a really good player. He's going to be here this weekend. Brody McWhorter is going to be here this weekend for an official visit, a quarterback out of Georgia. That's your quarterback of the class. He was here last week as an unofficial visitor, recruiting for Mississippi State. He's worked really hard to try to help recruit this signing class from Mississippi State. You also have J.J. Hill, the running back from Tupelo, coming in this weekend, who I think is the best running back in the state of Mississippi and one of the best running backs in the country. Vastly underrated. I've watched him play several times. I believe J.J. Hill to be a superstar in the making, and I don't really understand the rating that he has. I know a lot of scouts talk about his speed. The guy is built like a brick house, and I think that he's going to be a major factor for Mississippi State in this offense if you do keep him. And there's a lot of teams coming after him inside the SEC. Jeff Lebby's going to have to fight off a lot of teams for his signature. But it is a good weekend for Mississippi State. It's a weekend that I think could alter the class if Jeff Lebby is able to have a good weekend. It's pivotal for him. And anytime you have these summer official visits, it's not the end of the road. I mean, you're going to have to continue to recruit these guys hard to get them to come to school. You got to go through a whole season with these guys, even if they commit. So this is not going to be the end of the road, but it lays the foundation for you with these players. And Mississippi State has some big ones coming in that you really want to land. Darian Albert from Jackson Academy coming in with his teammate, T.J. White, a linebacker. Both of those guys are highly recruited players. Tennessee is hot in pursuit of both of them. Mississippi State struggling in-state. They're struggling to land big players in-state. Landing one or both of these guys would be a massive pull for Jeff Lebby. And they've stayed in the game with them. We'll see if they're able to finish the job. It's a big visit weekend for them. Evan Goodwin, out of Arkansas, one of the top linemen in the Southeast. State has consistently been at the top of the line with him. He loves it here. It fits his personality perfectly. This is an opportunity. He's taken several official visits. Mississippi State's one of the last ones, if not the last one. This is a chance here to wrap up his commitment, and he would immediately be one of State's best commitments. And I think they have a shot. We'll see exactly how that goes. Zayon Cotton, tight end, a potential wide receiver from Grenada. He's a really good player. that Mississippi State's been in the game with for a long time. That's one to watch this weekend as well. And then Iverson McCoy, he's a guy that was committed to you for a while. Yeah, he was the guy that was typing out the decommit tweet at the game last year that went viral, if you guys remember that. Somebody videoed him typing that tweet out. He ended up deleting it. That he didn't even post it. Said he was committed still. He eventually decommits, as someone that might have been ready to decommit might do. But Mississippi State stayed in the game with him. They got him back this weekend. This is a chance to pull him back in, and he would be a big get for the Bulldogs as well. So we'll see how that goes. Paul Jones and myself will have you covered for that at Maroon and White Daily. If you're not a member, come join us today, and we'll have all those visit stories coming your way this weekend. Man, I appreciate you guys for being with me for the last hour. Thank you to Brian O'Connor for being with us. That interview is on the Super Talk Thunder and Lightning feed. If you want to go back and listen to it or watch it on the YouTube channel as well, you're welcome to do that as well. For Brian Haydad, who's not here, I'm Robbie Falk. Thank you for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. We'll catch you down the road.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.